You know what an awesome thing it is that God will teach us His Word.
Amen.
You know, the Creator teaching His children. I just think that's so awesome. Praise God. And He will if we will position ourselves. Well, we're still in our study, and will be for a while, on walking in the ways of the Lord. This is part number 31. Praise God. Now, we could have done this in three parts. But why? You know, there's so much more to it than that. And since it's a Bible study, we're not in no hurry. We can just take our time, you know, and someday we'll wind up maybe writing a book. Who knows? I've got several here to do. I won't write it, but somebody may. But anyways, there's something like 80-something pages of notes I've got here. And I still add to them every week. So praise God, I'm really enjoying this. Well, tonight's title is Let Patience Have Its Perfect Work. And this is part one. We had 10 messages on peace and rest. And they were all real good. And we could have went more because the Bible has a lot to say about peace. But peace and patience are connected, as we've said in the past. So we'll pick up with patience, and we'll see how peace links to it as we go. Let patience have its perfect work, part one. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is developing the fruit of patience and long-suffering in every area of their lives. They are diligent to let patience have its perfect work so that they can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Glory be to God. Part of our walk, if we're going to walk in the ways of the Lord, we have to walk His way. Mm-hmm. And God is very patient. He's proven that.
15 billion years worth of patience.
Oh, man. So we're going to start looking this morning this evening. We're going to go ahead and take a look at the fruit of the Spirit. We haven't visited it for a little while. Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. In other words, there's no law, spiritual law or natural law, that can prevent these fruit from working. They will work because there's fruit of God's very presence. They're fruit. Not just are they fruit. We kind of, when we think of fruit, we think God's here and His fruit's here. But no, this is God's character. The fruit of the Spirit is God. It's His very character. It's who He is. And He can't do anything but this because God is love. And the first one mentioned is love. Everything else flows from that because God is love. Every one of these fruit depend on each other. And they all depend on love. They draw on each other. They'll function together. Without one of these fruit, with one of these fruits missing, the others will be weakened or not work at all. And peace and patience are that way. Mm-hmm. And without love, neither one of them work. So when it comes to, we've studied love, joy, peace on the fruit so far, because we're studying God's character or His ways. So the one currently is long-suffering. Depending on the translation. Well, the Amplified says it this way. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. I like that because that explains where that fruit comes from and why it's there. The Holy Spirit came in when we were born again. When we got born again, the Spirit instantly came in, and with Him came these fruits. They're all present within each of us. Is love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance. See here, it uses the word patience, but then it defines that patience with two other definitions for that same word, an even temper and forbearance. There's something like 7 or 8 different words that are basically the same word. The way there's 3 meanings for love, this is the same with patience. It has different, the translations There's several words that mean the same thing. And the Amplified is bringing an even temper and forbearance in, because that explains the patience they're talking about there. Kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, countenance. Against such there is no law that can be bring a charge. Well, let's look at what patience is. Like I said, there's two words here that we're going to be dealing with through our study for patience. Patience and long-suffering, and you'll also see waiting come in when we study patience. Well, this is the Webster's Dictionary definition for patience. The suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper, endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to divine will. You can walk in patience white-knuckled, you know, where you're not going to do this. But that's a natural way of doing it. It's a carnal way, a natural man, not one that's born again. The one that's born again is a person that will submit himself to the divine will, and because of that, walk in patience, because he's submitted. Now, the next word is long-suffering. So let's see what Webster's has to say about long-suffering. Bearing injury or provocation for a long time. Patient, not easily provoked. So the reason, there's two different things about patience. I can be patient right now, but not after a while. I can lose my patience. Okay? Well, the long-suffering one means it's ongoing. I'm going to continue walking this same way no matter what's going on around me. That's why they use that word interchangeably there. And it is interchangeable throughout the Bible, depending on the translation. We're also going to look at Vine's New Testament here of words. Vine's New Testament defines patience, and I like the way it says it here. Patience is the quality that does not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. It is the opposite of despondency and is associated with hope. Now, we've talked about this before where hope is concerned on other messages, and we'll be talking about it again, because there's the word. You apply faith to the word, activates hope, which springs out there and starts the process. But patience draws the two together. If I do not continue in patience, hope will not work, and neither will the word or faith. They both. The word is in the now, hope is in the future. But the connecting point between the two is patience. Patience moves from now, in my now moment, it moves to the next now moment, moves to the next now moment, moves to the next now moment, maintaining my faith in the word and aiming towards hope. It's like an airplane that is going across the nation, and they will zero in on a beam. There's a point at an airport where they're sending out a signal, and the plane has a receiver. It's receiving that signal, and it's following that beam. Well, patience is the beam. It's like that beam that connects the two, and as long as I maintain my patient walk or my long-suffering walk, I'm going to arrive at that place. The airport that has the sending out the signal would be considered my hope. Hope is sending out a signal constantly. It's manufacturing and building a blueprint for what my faith is developing. And if my faith and the word does not stay connected to my hope, the blueprint stops. The beam is broken, okay? But because of patience, they all stay connected. And now it'll come to manifestation. And that's patience's job. Patience is powerful. It's associated with hope because of that. Without patience, hope doesn't work. Now, what does it say about long-suffering? I like this too. Long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. It is the opposite of anger and is associated with mercy and is used of God. Exodus 34:6, Romans 2:4, and 1 Peter 3:20 is some specific scriptures where you see the long-suffering of God. Now, we all know he's long-suffering. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here and we wouldn't be saved. But because of his long-suffering, we're supposed to be walking in that way too. And his long-suffering empowers us so that we can walk that way, which is so awesome to me. Let's look at James 1:4. We're going to come back to this one again later. I'm going to pull it out just for today. And then next week, I know I can't get done, so next week we'll probably work deeper on this particular one. But it says it so effectively that we need to start our study on patience with this verse, James chapter 1, verse 4. But let, and again, when you put let in something, that means there's a choice to make. So patience is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is in all who are born again. It's readily available. There's nothing keeping us from functioning in patience and walking a patient life. Nothing can prevent that, for there is no law against it. But I have to do the letting. So I have to do that. I have to exercise it. So it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So patience has a work that it's going to perform. And like I said, I could start this work and be patient for a couple hours and then lose my patience. I did not let it have its perfect work. I did not allow it to complete its perfect work. Because it's not alone. If patience is working, it's connected to the Word, it's connected to faith, it's connected to hope, and it's most certainly connected to love. And it's connected to peace. If I'm not walking in peace on purpose, like we've been talking about, patience won't work. If I'm an impatient person, peace won't work. So to see how they're all connected and how they affect one another, that's why we're studying this, so we can see how it works. We'll get deeper into this particular section of Scripture next week. But we're going to look at God now, at His patience. We've been talking about walking in peace for the last 10 messages, and we've been talking about walking in the ways of the Lord for 31 messages, counting this. Well, walking in the ways of the Lord, this person, as we mentioned when we started, will be walking in patience and long-suffering. Well, the Lord is patient and long-suffering in all of His ways. There is no single way or characteristic of God, nothing in His nature, that is not patient and long-suffering, because He is love. This is a fruit that's always present with God. His patience never wears out. It does come to a place where there's nothing left for Him to do. He will not overcome a person's will. This person has totally rejected Him. And now God doesn't do it to him. The enemy does. He hangs himself. But God has still got His hand out to him. But there comes a time when there's nothing more God can do because he's being totally rejected on purpose. So that there is a limit, not to God's patience, but there's a limit to what it can do for someone. Exodus 34:6. And in this particular chapter, Moses is up on the mountain and he's asked God to see His glory. I want to see Your glory. It's almost like they were talking about something else and he just blurted that out, you know. I want to see Your glory. And God said, you can't see my face. Huh?
He wanted to see His face.
Yeah, and God said, you can't see my face and live. But I'll pass by, put you in the cleft of the rock, I'll hold my hands over you, and you can see my backside. And this is what God said about that. This is not Moses saying it. God says it. You can see by the way it's written. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. So who's proclaiming here? God is. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. So he described himself. He proclaimed his own way here, that he's merciful, that he's long-suffering. And when we looked at the definition in the Vines about long-suffering, it added that it was connected to mercy. So here he declares that he's merciful and gracious and long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Part of his goodness and truth, abounding in goodness and truth, is because of his long-suffering. His long-suffering puts him in a place where he can be. Psalm 145 and verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. In order to do what that verse says, he has to be long-suffering. Look what he put up with mankind, and especially with Michael. Glory be to God. It basically says, the psalmist is saying the same thing that God said about himself. Now, Psalm 145 and verse 8. Now, this is the Passion Translation. Well, I like it. When you compare the two, I like the way the Passion said this. That's why I included it. He's talking to God. You're kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it. Do we deserve it? No. He's kind to us. And very patient with people who fail you. Thank God. Your love is like a flooding river, overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness. For your tender love is blended into everything you do. I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's worth reading it again. You're kind and tender-hearted. You're kind and tender-hearted to those who don't deserve it and very patient with people who fail you. Your love is like a flooding river overflowing its banks with kindness. God, everyone sees your goodness, for your tender love is blended into everything you do. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I like that. Praise God. Now let's look at Isaiah 30 and verse 18. One strong characteristic of patience and long-suffering is to wait. And I haven't decided yet how far into wait I want to go. There's a lot. I uncovered a ton of stuff as I was studying on wait and waiting. But I wanted to bring this in as we look at God's character here. Isaiah 30, verse 18, and this is the Amplified Classic. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing. That's a good definition for wait. That's what we do when we wait for the mail, or we wait for a package coming that we ordered 2 months ago and is still not here. When we're behind the checkout counter and the little old lady can't get all her chains out and or waiting when some jerk is driving 20 miles an hour in a 70, you know. this is when we got to exercise the fruit of patience. So, and therefore the Lord earnestly waits. I like that word earnestly. Instead of just saying the Lord waits. It means he's, to me, when it says earnestly waits, it means he's serious about this. He is determined to wait. Therefore, the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. See what he wants to do? He wants to be gracious to us. And he's waiting for us to allow him to do that. And therefore, he lifts himself up. What's that mean? He's encouraging himself. When he would give up, there's nobody to encourage God. So he encourages himself. You know, David did that at one time. He encouraged himself. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we have to do that. And therefore he lifts himself up, that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, are all those who earnestly wait for him. Now it's on the other foot. Who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. So in that one verse, we see God waiting and why he's waiting and how we are to wait and why we're to wait and what we're to expect. That word expectancy, where God is concerned, expecting where God is concerned, and expect where man is concerned, is related to what? Hope. Hope, in the Bible, hope is absolute, earnest expectation. That's the definition for Bible hope. Absolute, earnest expectation. And that's what God's doing there. He's got his hope out on this, but God's hope is alive. And if it's Bible hope, our hope is alive. What are we hoping for? Here you see the application of the word, faith, patience, and hope. It's in all in this verse. Where God is concerned, he's doing that. And where man is concerned, he's doing that. What's he got his faith and hope on? His victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, his matchless, unbroken companionship. That's what we're seeking, and that's what we're expecting. So we're long-suffering where this is concerned. In other words, we don't care what's going to hinder us. I'm going to take whatever comes my way, I'm aiming at that. So I'm keeping my patience alive. See, and that's what I think, that's an awesome verse. And it explains both what man does and what God does, and where we meet together. When we do this, it brings God's door open. It opens his door so that he can bring these to us. That's so awesome to me. Now let's look at Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And it's the Amplified again. For whatever was thus written in former days was written for our instruction, that by our steadfast and patient endurance and the encouragement drawn from the Scriptures, we might hold fast to and cherish hope. See the connection there? You meditate on that verse, you'll see some of the things that we've been talking about for several lessons. It is, the Bible was written, this book was written in former days for our instruction. It's alive, it's absolute truth, and it instructs us in the ways that we are to walk. And it is by our steadfast and patient endurance and encouragement, those things that we need, drawn from the Scriptures. Okay. So where do we get our steadfast and patient endurance and encouragement? We get it from the Scriptures. As we take God's Word and we believe it, we take God's Word and make it final authority. That causes us to be steadfast and patient, endurance, and encouraged, drawn from the Scriptures. That's how we draw it. When we look, if we don't get in the Bible and don't study it and don't lay claim to it and declare it, we're not going to be able to do that. It's because we're doing that, because we're in the Word, because we're meditating on it, that we can be steadfast and patient and have endurance and be encouraged, because we're doing that. If I just read that Scripture and say, oh boy, that's mine, and go on down the road, and I don't do anything, I don't get in the Word, because it's drawn from Scriptures. I draw it from there. If I don't get in there and do the drawing, I'm not going to have that. Sometimes we got to stop and look at what it's actually saying. It's saying that that's available and that it comes from Scriptures. But if it comes from Scriptures, then who's going to get it out of Scripture? I am. Verse 5. Now may the God who gives the power of patient endurance, steadfastness, and who supplies encouragement, grant you to live in such mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may unanimously, with united hearts and with one voice, praise and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It sounds like he's talking about more than one thing there, and he's not. He's talking about the same thing all the way through. He's saying, I'm going to have to draw this from Scriptures. But he's going to give me the ability. He's telling us, I got to do the drawing. But then he says, now in verse 5, now may the God who gives the power. I can say I can't do that, but he gives me the power. See, I can lay claim to that and then start there. Father, I thank you that you've given me the power to be steadfast and to be encouraged and to understand the word. Thank you that you've given me that power. So we can use this scripture as a declaration and receive. Praise God. That's awesome to me. Well, look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, who's the elect of God? We are. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, so we know we're holy and we're beloved. I'm not holy. Yes, you are. You were made holy by God. Holy and beloved, put on. Now, that's the same as the word let. Put on. An action for me to do. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. In other words, those are the things that I'm supposed to do. If I'm putting it on, that's the way I'm living. See, if I don't put it on, then I'm not living that way. I'm supposed to walk in tender mercies to everyone I meet. I'm supposed to be kind, and that's another fruit of the Spirit. I'm supposed to walk in humility. I'm supposed to walk in meekness. That's another fruit of the Spirit. And I'm supposed to be long-suffering or patient. That's another fruit of the Spirit. In other words, I'm supposed to be walking the fruit of the Spirit in my daily life. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Do we bear with one another? Don't mean take your clothes off. It means to bear, to put up with, to make room for, to be patient with them and tender towards them no matter what they do. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Must do. Now, must is what? It's a commandment. So it means that I have to do this. And if I don't do it, then what is it? It's a sin. I'm in disobedience. And you want to throw your faith out the door. That's the good way to do it. The Satan uses that all the time. And we don't realize he's doing it. See, we think we have a right not to forgive, and we don't. We only have the right to forgive. We cannot. We have a choice we can make and not forgive. But as far as being a child of God, this is our choice. This is what we have to do. Whether we want to or not, it has nothing to do with want to. It's a must. And if he doesn't tell you to do something, he doesn't give you the power to do. He never tells you to do something you can't do. But you have to do the rest of that up there. See, this is things we have to put on. We have to draw on the fruit of patience, even after I've messed up. Even after I've done that. I can still call the fruit of patience and long-suffering up and repent of that and be right back where I was. And God can take me on from there. My faith will work. Everything will work because I dealt with it. But I don't feel like I did it. You did it. If you done it and you meant business with God, it's taken care of no matter what you feel like. Don't let Satan drag you right back into it by going by your feelings, because they'll lie to you. But he said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you confess that unforgiveness or that strife that took you there, if you confess that and own up to it, no matter what your feelings are saying, you do it by faith and trust in his word. Based on his word. It's first. It's truth. It's absolute. I'm basing what I'm saying on what he said, therefore it's truth. And as you do that and you keep reinforcing it, then the cleansing of that washing of the water by the word will renew your mind, and eventually, in time, you'll see that it no longer bothers you. It gets further and further away because you're being patient and long-suffering with it. And you're using the word to shore that up, to shore your patience up. You're looking unto Jesus and not unto the circumstance. Amen. Hallelujah. 16. Let, well, 14. But above all these things, put on love. And no matter what you do here, you put on love. Why? Because love will deal with those other things. If you're walking in love, you'll be walking with tender mercies and kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. You'll be doing that. You'll do it in your now moment, correcting yourself as you go, because you're putting on love. That's why it says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I like the way the Amplified says it's the bond of perfection. What does a bond do? It gets you out of jail, don't it? If you lay a bond, or it puts things together. It's the bond of perfection. And let, there's another word there, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now you're being long-suffering, which is patience, and now you got peace coming in. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, that means, if it rules, it means I'm going to have to make choices to walk in peace when I don't feel like it. If peace isn't ruling in my heart, I'm doing it my way. I'm going by my emotions. But if I'm letting peace rule in my heart, then I'm making decisions based on that. I absolutely refuse to let that strife come in and steal my peace. I'm not doing it. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. You got to declare it. I am not allowing this to steal my peace. I'm not going to do it. And sometimes you got to keep talking it. But you base it on the word. God is giving me his peace, which passes all understanding. And in John chapter 14, verse 26, Jesus himself said, my peace I give and bequeath to you. So he gave us his peace. It belongs to us. That's what that fruit is. Praise God. That's exciting to me. It means I don't have to let my peace be stolen. There's no law that can make me yield to that. I yield to peace because there's no law that can supersede it. The law of peace is a higher law. Nothing can stop it from functioning. Then in verse 16, oh, pardon me, I'm going to read that over again, 14. But above all these things, put on love. So I put it on, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. So if I'm called that way, it means it's God's decision. This is his commandment. It's what he wants. We're called to that. It doesn't mean we'll respond to it. But I'm called there. It's God's desire that everyone live this way. And if we're going to walk the ways of the Lord, we're going to have to do that. Let, in verse 16 again, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I did skip it? Oh, yeah. Two words. That's why I skipped it. Be thankful. That's verse 15. Be thankful. Let the word Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. You think, but that's not connected. Yes, it is. I have to walk in peace in order to do that. I have to walk in patience in order to let the Word. The Word is working together with my peace and my patience. Ephesians 4, verse 1, New King James. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So, I can walk unworthy of that calling, can't I? If he's telling me to walk worthy of it, then I can walk unworthy to it. So, I have to make a choice to walk worthy of the calling. Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. See, this is my job. Endeavoring, or I'm working at it. I'm working at it. Praise God. This is all part of patience. Patience is required for all of this. Hebrews 6, verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish. If we don't do this, we'll become sluggish. We'll start giving up. It's something we got to maintain. We have to keep at it. Sometimes you think, well, I'm tired. I just need to skip it for a while, you know, and I'll be all right. No, you won't. No, you won't. You think you will. But before long, you slip backwards and you're no longer walking in patience. You'll be short-sighted, short with people. You'll not walk in peace. You'll not make correct decisions when things come your way because you backed off. And after you do that a while, it becomes so easy that you don't go back. And your life is torn apart, and you wonder how it happened. God, you're not there no more. You're not there. It's not that he's not. You're going the other way, so you got your back to him. So this is important that we maintain these things. There's times when you'll be just doing your devotions and doing your praying and reading your Bible. You'll feel like you're doing it mechanically. You're kind of forcing yourself to it. Do it anyways. In other words, you're committed. You're committed. And it doesn't matter what I feel like, doesn't matter what I think, doesn't matter what anybody else is doing, I'm committed to the Word. I'm committed to my relationship with the Lord. I'm committed to my prayer time. I'm committed to this. And see, when you do that, then he can start flowing through that. There's in all of our lives, we get the pressures of life and the things around us, being busy and everything else, we tend to start letting things drop. And it's funny how the first thing we let drop is church. The first thing we let drop is our prayers, our Bible reading. Well, I got to the place where I was working 10, 11 o'clock at night. I'd do it anyways. I'd sit there and sleep while I was doing it. But the point was, I was doing it. You know, and it's a commitment and it's something you can't drop. And it's see, God honors that. We think, well, I'll do it tomorrow. No, you won't. Once you start skipping it, you'll continue to skip it. And there, if you really look at your schedule, you had time for it. You just didn't do it. I know I'm that way. So I've got specific time frames now. And I know it's hard sometimes to do that. But if I miss a time frame, I will do it anyways. I will do it the very first opportunity I get. Mother and I have a 7 o'clock appointment with God every morning. We pray together. We read devotions together. And it takes us almost an hour. But we pray for different people, different circumstances, specific Bible-based prayers. But we pray. It's a commitment. A couple of times we think, I think I'll just sleep it. No. This is not an appointment with the doctor. It's not an appointment. It's not even going to work. I can't call in sick. It's something I do. If we get committed like that, then that makes it easy for God to flow and to speak. Even when we don't feel like it's working, it is working. It's not for us. We're included. But our prayer time is for others. So we're committed to God's people to do it. And that's what it, I'd like to say we were doing it all along, but we weren't. It took us a while to get to that place, but it's important. So, and we desire, Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence, that word, to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In other words, when we do this, we'll inherit those promises. It unlocks them. But if we don't, they don't open up. If we don't, we won't not be patient. Our faith will not work. Our love walk won't work. Our hope won't work. Things start falling apart around us. And it's not anybody's fault but our own. And that's the hardest thing for us to admit, is that it's my fault. Isn't it? The faster we get to the place where we blame ourselves and not others, the faster we'll grow, the stronger we'll become, the more diligent we'll be, the more our faith will work, the more we'll see God's love.
Amen.
Working in our lives. Then I can say, Michael, that's your fault. Father, I repent of that. I shouldn't have spoke that way. I know he was upset with me and he did this and that, but that has nothing to do with my response. I responded wrong. And I'm sorry, Lord, I repent of that. And I thank you, according to 1 John 1:9, that you've forgiven me of that sin and you've cleansed me. And I thank you. I'm right back walking right with you. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Take account of it right at the moment or at the first opportunity that you can. If you wait, you won't take account of it. You'll start justifying it. And I can't justify not walking the love walk. I guess we can stop there. Father, we thank you for this time in your word today. Thank you for teaching us, Lord. I know sometimes this is a hard message for us to hear. But Lord, it's one of the best messages we could ever hear. To the opportunity that you give us every moment to walk in patience and long-suffering. And you supply, as we read tonight, you supply everything we need to do that. You are the one that grants us encouragement. You strengthen us by your Spirit who dwells within us. We're so thankful for these things, Lord. And we're thankful that you're equipping the church with these things, so that we can walk right with you and that the enemy will not be successful in defeating us in our everyday life. We thank you that we can walk victorious in every area. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.